memory. Which chapter is it for you? I'm not
six.
Chapter six?
Yes, sir.
Good, good. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had got some time to rest, got some time to catch up on class. Tonight we'll talk about the memory. It's one of the aspects of the soul, and it is the memory is the part of the soul that affects how the rest of the soul works. Your memory affects how your imagination works. It affects how your will works. It affects how your emotions work. Memory is the one that affects every other aspect of your soul. And so we have to learn how to use our memories to benefit us and not penalize us. In the Old Testament, Abram and Isaac and Jacob, every time God did something for them that was miraculous, significant, they would build altars. And the reason why they built altars is it reminded them of how good God is. And so they were able to enhance their memories of how good God had been to them. So if God had been good to them, that means God is good to them and God will continue to be good to them. And so they had a very effective way of controlling their memories, of dictating how their memories benefit them. And so we have to do the same thing. We have to learn to use our memories in order to help our emotions, to help our intellect, to help our reasoning, to help us be more effective in the kingdom of God. Your memory holds the powerful key of self-identity. I was about a couple of years ago, I was walking out of the mall of Louisiana and had a young lady that had a son that was about 5 years old. And she was just berating him. I mean, just, I don't know what the little boy did, but I whatever he did, I hope he don't do it no more. Whatever he did. But the fact is she was just berating him. I mean, just, you know, you bad, you know, and I am cleaning it up. All right. And just, I mean, just going to town on the little boy. And I walked past, and you know, you don't get in nobody's business, so I just kept walking, but it dawned on me what kind of identity was she was creating for him. Because when somebody builds when somebody tells you something, you have to deal with it. See, this is why I guard what I hear, I guard what I see, and I guard what I say. Because once it is released, I don't care how anointed you are, I don't care how powerful you are, or how intelligent you think you may be, you have to deal with what you saw and what you heard. And so I can only imagine how this boy, when he becomes 10, how his self-identity would be. You know, when the person that you have the most confidence in is just dogging you out, calling you everything but a child of God. How, when he goes back to draw up on those memories, how will it affect how he thinks about himself? See, this is why God is so adamant about you not being in the past. Because all of our past are jacked up. Every last one of us. The scripture of the Bible say, he threw our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west. You got me? So God is trying to help us clean our memories so that we don't let Satan wreak havoc on us about our righteousness. If you don't be careful, Satan will bring up your past using your memories, or bring up your past to dictate your present and dictate your future. As soon as God tells you something significant about yourself, the first person to show up is Satan to remind you of what you used to be. So here it is. Once again, Satan is powerless, but he's trying to use somebody else's power to affect you. Other words, he's trying to use your power to affect your present and your future. Are you seeing this? See, this is why Abraham, them, they always built altars. They always built, remember, let me give you some examples of your what an altar can be to you. An altar can be to you as a journal. Reminding yourself all the things that God has done for you. Reminding you the victories that God has brought you through. Reminding you of the obstacles you overcame with God's wisdom. You write down the different solutions that you came up with because of the wisdom of God. And it helps to create memories that you can rely on that will propel you into your presence and into your future. Is that making sense? Your memory is the most powerful tool of identity and the basis for all our decision-making abilities. You know, a lot of times we don't accomplish things because we think we can't accomplish things because our past say we can't. Most people don't try something new based on their past experiences. Are you seeing this? So we have to begin to allow God to shape our memories. You must learn how to forget. Forget what you like to call failures. Learn, but forget. You have to, in order to forgive, you have to learn how to forget. You know, people say, yeah, I'll forgive them, but I ain't forgetting. Well, you ain't really forgive. You really haven't forgiven. You really haven't forgiven if, all right, God said he throws our sins to the sea of, that means he no longer brings them up. That means he no longer reminds you of what you did last Thursday. He no longer reminds you what you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago. He don't remind you of those things. Matter of fact, God's decision, listen to me, that God's decision to use you is not based on your past. It's based on your present. God don't operate like the world system. We get hired for jobs based on our past experiences. Thank God he not hiring us based on our past experiences. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt what? Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. This is Moses reminding the children of Israel to remember what God had done for them. See, you need to rehearse those things that God has done for you. When you rehearse those things that God has done for you, you occupy the time and the space in your soul for things to come up that you don't need to remember. Amen. Some people can't go no further with God because they're constantly reminded about their past. Satan knows how to do much to some people. Just say, remember you did this. And it handicaps them from what God is currently telling them to do. Are you seeing this? We think we are who we are because of this accumulation, and we decide what we decide based on our memories of past decisions and facts stored in our memory. I'm gonna read that again. We think we are who we are because of this accumulation of memories, and we decide what we decide based on our memories of the past decisions and facts stored there. I just said that. Sometimes we get handicapped in the present moment because of past experiences and past events. Tell me your memory is not something. Memory grips you. Some of y'all have fear of dogs because of a past experience dealing with a dog. I mean, it's funny, but that's to give you a good example. I'm not saying you shouldn't be scared of a dog. Some dogs you should be fearful of. But that's the reason why you might not pet a dog, because of your past, your memory of dealing with a dog that got rambunctious on you. The memory is the most difficult part of the soul to sort out. Most difficult part. Why? Because it's hard to forget something on purpose. Especially hard to forget it when somebody keep reminding you about it. The memory is the most vital part of the soul, as I said this earlier, because other parts of your soul will draw on the resources of the memory to be able to function. So you have to have a properly aligned, properly functioning memory. If not, your decision making is going to be wishy-washy. Your thinking, intellect, and reasoning is going to be wishy-washy. Your emotions are going to be thrown off. The Holy Spirit has a special working relationship with this part of our soul, with the memory, based on this promise, John 14, 26. Turn now. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important. This is why it's important that we pray in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit disengages your thought process. How it disengages your thought process. You don't know what you're saying. So therefore, you can't process it. So therefore, it allows, watch this, watch what the Holy Spirit does. John 14, 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. This is Jesus talking to the disciples before he went to the cross. He said, the Holy Spirit, listen to me, internet, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all things that Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit is not bringing to your remembrance your failures. The Holy Spirit is not bringing to your remembrance your missteps. The Holy Spirit is not going to bring to your remembrance the mistakes that you made. You can automatically know that if any of your mistakes, or your so-called failures, your missteps, if you're ever reminded of that, you can automatically know the devil is in the vicinity. And you need to submit yourself to God Resist the devil and he will flee. What it means to submit yourself to God, it means to settle yourself down, capture your thoughts, and submit them to what God is saying about you. Are you seeing this? Every time Satan tries to remind you of a misstep you made, you need to remind him of how God uses you. Every time he tries to bring up what happened last time, you bring up what happened last time God was with you. You see? So therefore, you are now allowing your memory to take itself back over, and Satan no longer has control over your memory. Is that making sense? The Holy Spirit must be in charge of your memory. It is vital. It's so important for that, because the other aspects of the soul, listen to me, the other aspects of the soul grab from the memory, so it is important that you allow the Holy Spirit to be in total control of your soul, of your memory. And as I said, he will only bring to remembrance what God has said about you, what God is saying about you, and what God will say about you. He's not bringing anything else up. There are dangers to having an ungodly memory. Ungodly memories can make us a prisoner of the past. They will paralyze our progress in the plan that God has for us. Can you imagine Joseph? Now, God has spoke to him. God showed him two distinctive dreams. His brothers found out by the dream, lied to his dad about his date, faked his death, sold him into slavery. He worked his way out of slavery by the favor of God into Potiphar's house, was approached by Potiphar's wife, got lied on, thrown back into jail. Still was delivering, still doing what God asked him to do, to the time when he became second in command of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said, the only reason why you're second in command by title only, you're really controlling everything. What if he would have allowed what his brothers did to him remain in his memory? What if he'd remembered the dirt that the Potiphar's wife did to him, if he'd allowed that to remain in his memory? He would not have been effective as a ruler of Egypt. Why? I can't be a ruler of Egypt and I'm still fussing and still mad and still upset about how my brothers messed over me. I can't be mad. I mean, I can't effectively rule Egypt. Because remember, he had to effectively rule in Egypt, and he had to provide for Potiphar and his wife and his brothers. So what if he'd have remained bitter? What if that memory would have stayed there? Then God can't use him, because he wouldn't want to provide for them. So God would have had to find somebody else to use, because he's letting what happened to him in the past block up his memory and cause his future to stay congested, to stay unproductive, not to come to pass. Is this making sense? What is it in your past that you are allowing to block your future? Who are you still angry at? Are you seeing this? Who is controlling your present and your future because of what they did to you in the past? Our memories can crystallize ungodly emotions. Uh-oh. Remember, we talked about emotions. Now, not only do we have current emotions, but your memory can capture and crystallize past emotions. Every time I see her, she just burns me up. Oh, he make me sick. I can't stand the ground he walk on. Wait a minute, that person did that to you in the past. But you in the present moment, that memory. There is no way for destiny to be fulfilled because, watch this, this person, this will surely poison all present and future attempts for success. Can you imagine? I can imagine that Joseph had to probably, we know one instance, Joseph had to face his brothers. What if Joseph would have faced his brothers and been bitter because of his memory? I'm sure he had to deal with Potiphar because Potiphar was a high-ranking official. I'm sure he had to deal. Matter of fact, if you're going to read and you really read the Hebrew, the original text in the Hebrew, it talks about Joseph marrying Potiphar's daughter. If you're going to read it, it says, you're going to put it in prison, Potiphar's daughter. That's the Potiphar whose wife lied on him. Married his daughter. You talk about God to have a strong, a Holy Ghost controlled memory. Yes, sir. Girl, your mama lied on me. What I'm gonna deal with you for? You might be lying like her. We cannot allow our memories to become strongholds against God using us. We cannot let this become a statement that we make. This is the way it happened before, and this is how I learned to survive and be happy with it. So this is how I am. We can't let past dictate our present nor our future. Ungodly memories become like a virus factory to the rest of our soul. Wow. It becomes a virus factory to the rest of our soul. So if your memory is jacked up, that means your emotions are going to be jacked up. That means your reason and your intellect going to be jacked up. That means your imagination going to be jacked up. Wow. If a man has had an experience with rejection early in his life and the issue was never treated, it will grow until it becomes a stronghold of fear. Y'all see this? You see how memories will dictate, if we allow them to dictate our future. Memories will dictate our future. Which memories are we going to let dictate our future? Because you can take the word of God and change the memories that you have. What you mean change the memory? I thought it was in the past. It can't happen. Well, if God can throw those things in the sea of forgetfulness, why can't we? It's very possible for you to pick and choose what you want to remember and what you don't. Watch this. The Spirit of God must be allowed to roam our memories at all times. That's the only way that our memories will remain healthy. And watch this. It's not so much about what we did to somebody else in our memory, or what we did, what sins we committed. We also have to control our memory about what people do to us. One of the persons that I've seen control their memories the best is Apostle Thompson. I don't see nobody else control their memory quite like him, because he's the only person I know that will challenge you in 1 minute, and the next minute act like it never happened. I've experienced it. We'll challenge you one moment, and moments later, act like it never happened. Which creates liberty. Because now I don't have to be under condemnation. Now I don't mind being under conviction, but I don't want to be condemned. Conviction is an emotion that causes you to reevaluate your actions. Condemnation don't cause you to evaluate nothing. Just realize this is who I am. Conviction causes you to change. Condemnation causes you to remain the same. A trained memory will be a catalyst for faith, thanksgiving, joy, hope, love, and courage. Turn me to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. See, this is not going to be your goosebump, chandelier swinging, hermeneutic type teaching, because the mind is so detailed and so accurate and so God made us so wonderfully that we have to understand this. This is not something that could be hummed to you. This is something that you have to realize that is going on with you at this moment. And sometimes we're being tripped up by memories and don't even realize it. Because we didn't know it exists. We didn't know our memory is a whole aspect of our soul. Our intellect is another aspect. Our imagination is another aspect. Our emotions are going one way. Our intellect going another way. Our imagination going one way. And it's all drawing from our memories. So now I know that my memory is the place where all of my other aspects of my memory and my soul pulls from. Are you seeing this? Proverbs, what I told you, 4. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That sounds like memory to me. That sounds like memorization. That's why it's good to memorize the word of God. When you memorize the word of God, when you read it so much till you memorize it, then the Holy Spirit can use God's word to change how you think. It can change how your memory functions. Over 45 times in Deuteronomy alone, God commands his people to remember the word of God. He tells us that our memories of his works in the past will become our faith for the same thing happening in the present and in the future. Whenever the memory of what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives is stirred up, so is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have authority over your memories. Don't let nobody else tell you anything different. You have authority over your memories. Philippians 3. Watch what Paul says. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What he does? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before. What he does? I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. other words, I don't hang my hat on past revelations. It's wonderful God spoke to me yesterday. That's wonderful. And it's good to remember that God spoke to me yesterday. But that memory that God spoke to me yesterday should only give me faith that God can speak to me today. See, so I'm not, there's a meeting that years ago that they called, was trying to get an apostle to come to. He wasn't an apostle at the time. And it was a meeting to try to discuss the prosperity in the body of Christ. And some gentlemen went to the meeting and they got out the meeting. Of course, the apostle didn't go. When they got out the meeting, some of them called him. And I never forget this statement. It was very, very clear. He told apostle, he said, those group of people are trying to live off of a 20-year-old revelation. In other words, something that God told them 20 years ago that was for that moment, for that time, they still in this present moment trying to live off that 20-year-old revelation. In other words, they didn't let God talk to them about this particular subject for 20 years. We can't have the type of memory where we're proud about what God had done. We want to know, we want to be involved with what God is doing. It's okay to remember what God has done, because when we remember what he has done, it gives us the fuel to be involved with what he is doing. See, having a proper memory, putting it in the proper perspective, putting it in it. This is how some ministers get thrown off. They get thrown off because God had used them, so they become confident that God will continue to use them. But if you don't stay in God's face and in his will, what he has done, he ain't going to be doing in the present moment for you. So some of them live off past. I'll give you a prime example. How many of y'all have seen these television broadcasts, these television evangelists, and you see these people with clothes from 1970?
Yes, sir.
And they're trying to make you think they'll have just yesterday. But you look at these people clothes, you look at the hairstyles, and you like, this had to be from the early 80s. This had to be the mid, this had to be the early 90s. This ain't trying to get a present move of God from how God used them in the past. See, God is always current. God is always in the present moment. That's where you find God. You never can find God in your past. You can never find God in your past. You can only find God in your presence, and he will lead you to your future. Is that making sense? Paul knew the dangers of how an ungodly memory could paralyze and hold him back from his destiny. He took authority over his memory and chose instead to remember those things that would keep him reaching forward in life. Now watch this. This is what you must do. Choose to forget those things that bound you in the past. Reject thought patterns that result in wrong behavior. Choose to focus on what God has spoken about your future. It's the key. Choose to forget what others have said about you unless they're saying what God is saying. You must choose to forget what others are saying about you unless they're agreeing with God. If they're not agreeing with God, you have no say-so in my life. And you have to be adamant about it. God does not condemn us because of our past. He doesn't. That's not who he is. God chooses to forget. Watch what he says, Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Here's a scripture that will put you in a position to have great memories. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So anytime Satan tries to bring up something in your past, you just remind him, that ain't how God thinks about me. And finally, we must connect our godly memories with a godly imagination in order to align with everything God wants to do with our future. If you don't have a godly memory, you're going to have trouble having a godly imagination. If all you can remember about your past is your jacked upness about your past, then all you're going to be able to imagine is your future being jacked up. That's what that's saying. So in order for you to have a productive imagination about your future, you're going to have to choose to control what you remember and what you forget. Are you seeing this? You have to let the Holy Spirit remain in control of your memory. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me deal with this memory. Holy Spirit, dig in me. What is there in me that's causing me to remember this? What is this, Holy Spirit, that's causing me for this to keep coming back up? Why every time I get to this point in my life, it seems like I can't go no further? Because I keep remembering what happened in the past. Holy Spirit, help me deal with this. This is why I said it earlier in this class. We're going to repeat this scripture over and over throughout this whole class. Romans 12, 2. Be ye not conformed to this world. Be ye what? Transformed. By the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove or recognize that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to remind yourself of who God says you are. Eliminate everybody who says anything different. You have to protect your ear gate, protect what you see, because those things trigger memories also. Don't talk to poison people. If they can't say nothing good, if they can't celebrate you, then get from around them. If all they want to do is bring up what you used to do, how you used to do this, how you can't do this, get them out of your life. I don't care who it is. Get them out. Make them change. Either you get out or change your language. Because you have enough issues with you dealing with your memories, you don't need nobody to add no fuel to it. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing. Constantly, constantly making your mind new. Constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to govern your memories. When you do this, then you'll be able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Without controlling that memory, you will not be able to control any other aspect of your soul. Are we getting this?
Yes, sir.
Y'all have a good night.
Yes, sir.